honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our conversation with 99-year-old Bill Biggers at the Veterans Memorial Museum in downtown Fresno, California. You'll find him there every Tuesday. The museum's open from 10 to 3 Monday through Saturday. Bill saw combat in the Philippines in the final months of World War II, then spent the next 11 months in occupation duty in Japan. By the fall of 1946, he finally had the chance to come home and see his wife and their young son again.
I thought I'd fly out. But I didn't. We kept back by ship. It wasn't a barn stable, though. It might have been worse. I don't know. But we was out 2 days, and one engine quit. I don't know. Gosh, we're going back to Yokohama. No, they got it going, and I don't know, 3 or 4 days later, maybe a week. I don't remember how long. Both engines quit. Now we're out there bobbling in the ocean, you know. They couldn't cook. So we had apples and crackers and that kind of stuff to eat for about a day and a half. And they got both engines going, and we ended up back in the Bay Area. Now, I see I didn't have time to contact my wife. I was coming home.
She didn't know?
She didn't know. We landed there in Oakland, and we got a pass to go into San Francisco, and I called her. She said, "Where are you?" I said, "San Francisco. What do you expect?" So she picked me up down back at Camp Beale. I told her, I said, "I'll make reservations for you in the hotel or motel, whatever I can get in Marysville." And so I made reservations for her, and two of my sisters came with her. And she was there the next day. And I said, "Now, they told us we was going to get on the train at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we'd be in Marysville by 4 o'clock that afternoon." And they gave us a lunch. You won't believe this. We got there at 4 o'clock in the morning. I could have walked it faster. We were on the siding all the time. See, they didn't need us now. There's no war going on, so they right. didn't need us. So we sat on the siding. When I went in the service, it was, you're right there. But no, they didn't need us, so we was on the siding. Can you imagine 10 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock the next morning, just going from Oakland to Marysville? You could have walked it.
Your wife's been waiting for you to get home all this time.
Oh, she came, you know, and of course they give you this deal, because they're going to give you quite a bit of cash then, you know, it was quite a bit of cash. And so they warn you, you know, there'd be women around wanting to relieve you of your cash, you know. They didn't want to go in Marysville, you know. I mean, in the base. So they would stop and ask the soldiers to walk off, wouldn't talk to them. So they went to the base, and the commander there told them, says, "No, they'll be here at about 4 o'clock in the morning. Do you have a place?" And they says, "Yeah, we've already got it. So you might as well go on back there, because they won't be here till 4 o'clock in the morning." And so they went back to I got them a hotel. And the next morning they picked us up, and it didn't take as long to go through there and give you orders. And she had borrowed my dad's Oldsmobile. And then there's a Mexican boy that I graduated with, had came home with us. He wasn't in our unit, but I came home with him, and he didn't have a ride home. So we'll just take you home.
So the people at Camp Beale thought your wife and your sister were trying to find some guys to take some money off of.
No, not the guys there, just the guys that was getting discharged.
They had the wrong idea about what they were there for.
Yeah, they had a wrong idea, yeah. So that was quite odd, yeah. But then afterwards, I actually didn't get out of service. I had quite a bit of time. So I actually came home the 1st of September, and I wasn't discharged until December. But I wanted to get to work. So my dad wanted to retire, and I grew up on that ranch. And even though it's a big ranch, I still do every inch of it, you know. And so those San Francisco boys wanted me to come back and take over my dad's job, because I knew the ranch. So we moved back to the ranch, and they built a new home for us. I stayed there 6 years, and I couldn't stand it anymore. You couldn't hire anybody. Nobody wanted to work anymore. I stayed there 6 years and signed up to go in the Fresno Police Department.
And there's a lot more to that, but before I forget, I mean, what was it like to see your wife again? You'd been gone for so long.
Yeah, it was great. You just can't imagine. And the fact she didn't even know I was coming home, it surprised her more than
And what about seeing your son?
Well, of course, see, I missed out on him growing up because he was just a baby when I left.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's up walking and talking, and, you know, and he told me later, now I lost my son last year. He told me it was the greatest thing any kid, there's no kid was as lucky as I was. He says, I got to learn to drive tractor because he was a little guy, and he'd drive that Ford tractor. And sometimes he'd drive a truck, even though he could barely reach the pedals. He just to unload the boxes, you know, mm-hmm. and scatter them in the field for picking because we all ship grain. And he got to do a little of everything. And so he got to go with me. He says, you know, very few kids got to do that with their dad. So, yeah, he said, I was the luckiest guy in the world.
When you got home, did he know who you were?
Yeah, I think so, because I sent a lot of pictures home, you know. I think he did, because he seemed to, you know.
How many years did you put in with the Fresno Police Department?
Well, I spent 22 years. I was 52 when I called it quits. I had a very, very interesting deal with the police department. I came on and I started my career with them working the major accident car. That car only took the injury accidents or death. But I said that, and then I went to patrol. Then the chief felt that the new officers need to know what goes on in headquarters. So since my initial started with a B, I was the first one in the office. So I got to spend 4 months in the office as a dispatcher and run the phones and run the, as we call it, the sergeant's desk that take care of people coming in. Now, midnight date, you didn't get too many. But anyway, that was a very good experience, and I appreciate the chief. It turned out I was the only one that ever had to go in there. So I volunteered for motors. Now, I grew up with motors. I had a couple of uncles that were motorcycle riders, and one of them had a motorcycle dealership. And so I grew up riding motors, too, you know. So I went on motors with intent of staying only 2 years and going to something else. I stayed 8 because we formed a drill team, and we put on shows on the weekends. When you're supposed to be home, you know, playing ball with a boy or somebody, you know, we were putting on shows all over the valley. Once a year, we spent a week in Los Angeles in that area putting on shows down there. I can remember one of them that we put on. We were in the stadium, and they turned all the lights out on us in darkness. We didn't crash, and, you know, motorcycles don't do very good on lawn. But there was no accidents. Everything went real smooth. We were the best in the state 3 years in a row. We were invited to the Madison Square Garden, all expense paid, even with our wives, and they'd fly our motors back there, and the city manager declined to let us go. But I went from motors to detective. A lot of experience in detective. I got to work a lot of different things. And from there, I went to forgery. That was a great experience because they don't teach anything about handwriting. And so I went up to DOJ and handwriting expert there, stayed a couple of days and learned a little bit about handwriting. So I stayed in that 3 years in forgery, and then I went to homicide. And I worked 7 years as a homicide officer.
I'm sure all of that experience, and I know you've remained connected to the police department ever since, I'm sure that experience gave you some perspective on what it takes to be a good law enforcement officer.
Well, I always felt you should put in a full day's work and do the best you can. It's a difficult job at any time, you know, because you want to do the right thing. You've got to treat people right. I don't care what they've done. You've got to treat them right because they're human beings. Show them respect, you know. But I don't want the police abused either. The way it looks now, it's only going to get worse. I hope not.
Yeah,
I can hope for the best, but I don't know where it's going. I think we've lost track of what our country's all about.
And maybe that's part of why you volunteer here at the museum.
Probably so, yeah. You know, and I get very, very disgusted with our television. We don't get much advertisement. Maybe we should get some free advertisement. Of course, you know, I've been here like on Veterans Day and other big celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
And people come in here, I didn't know about this. Like we've only been here about 20 years.
Well, what do you think people should know about the museum? Why should they come and check it out?
Well, it's history to start with. They should know what we represent here. Now, sometimes we had one lady come in and really got upset about our display of from Japan. And she started screaming, get that stuff out of here. Get that stuff out of here. And we tried to explain to her, this is history. Mm-hmm. We're not back in the Japanese War, and you know, saying it was good. We're trying to give you history about what goes and what we should be doing instead of the nonsense that's been going on lately. Of course, I've got a guy that likes to go to all museums, too. I don't care what they are. I still like to go to museums and see, learn about the past, you know. Mm-hmm. Although I got a lot of past my own. I mean, you could read about history, but sometimes it's not really as accurate as coming down here and seeing these displays, you know, clear back to the Civil War. I tell people you could spend all day in here.
You can. And besides the artifacts, the representations, the photographs, the narratives, they got people like you. And you live some of this history yourself. You got almost 100 years worth of history that you've seen with your own eyes. And I know you share some of that with the people who come here. So in light of those who didn't come home from World War II, your 406,000 fellow Americans who died while serving in World War II, how do we need to remember them all these years later?
The honor they displayed by going over there and fighting for us to keep us like we are today, not like we are today, like we were. They felt honored, most of them, because you sure had a few that, you know, went AWOL. But 99% of them went over there willing to give their lives for others so they could enjoy what we did enjoy here in the United States, because this is the greatest in the world, you know. There's nothing, no place like the United States.
I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for the way you continue to serve your country, your community, your fellow man. Is there something that you would say at 99 going on 100 that you're most proud of or you're most thankful for?
Well, I think the most thing you could be proud of is being born in the United States. With all the freedom we did have, and to see what's going on today is very disgusting to me. But I think we'll get it straightened out. I hope so. But there's just a lot of wonderful people at work here, mm-hmm. and started this museum. And yep. The fact that they give their time. And we enjoy it, too. As I have people say, what do you guys do down there? Oh, we sit around, drink coffee, and tell lies.
But he promises everything he said in this hour was the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That is Bill Biggers, 99 years old. He'll hit the century mark this November. And there's one more story of his that may sound too crazy to be true. You'll find a video of him telling that story at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. It's about the time in 1960 when he was knocked off of his police motorcycle by a deer. It really happened. He was fortunate to survive. You can check out that video online. And better yet, go hear the story from Bill in person at the Veterans Memorial Museum in Fresno, California, where he spends every single Tuesday. Thanks so much for listening to Hometown Heroes today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.